Please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Our text for this evening is verses 4 and 5. It's to be found on page 886 of the Black Pew Bible in the racks in front of you, page 886. Last week we began our study of this book and we saw the wonderful image of Christ, second person of the Trinity, as the Word. Tonight we see two more wonderful images for us. Christ is also the life and the light. We'll consider these two great images tonight. Christ as our life and as our light. Your attention with me to the reading of God's Word, John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades. Word of our God will stand forever. Let's go to Him again in prayer. Our Father and our God, it's great joy we come to You in the evening at the end of the day, reading and hearing that You are the light of the world. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We come to You tonight and ask that You would shine Your light upon us in these few minutes. Reveal Yourself to us where You may be found in Your Word. Open it to us that we may see the beauty of our Savior in new ways tonight. Grow the affections of our hearts. See and behold the glory of our Savior and praise Him evermore. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know how the story begins. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. You know how the story ends. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. The Bible begins in utter darkness. The Bible ends in total darkness. Light. The story of John chapter 1 is the story of how utter darkness becomes total light. It is a story of our Savior, of our God, of our Christ breaking through as the light breaks through into darkness. John speaks on many different levels and uses much imagery and symbolism, and we see kind of two levels going on in our text. This evening, there's the level of creation and physical darkness, and then there's the level of the spiritual darkness and spiritual light breaking through. And John will kind of play those two against each other as we understand this image of light and darkness, these layers of physical and spiritual. But we understand as we read John that we are in the middle of the story. We understand the story began in utter darkness, the story ends in total light, but we're in the middle, somewhere in between, where there's some light and there's some darkness. And as we'll see, unlike the physical darkness that disappears when light shines, the spiritual darkness claws and hangs on as long as it can. The story is the battle before the dawn as the light breaks through and pushes out the darkness that continues to cling on. We see in our text, the light of Christ shines hope on all who believe. The light of Christ shines hope on all who believe. I'm going to focus, I'm preaching on both verse 4 and 5, focus most of my time tonight on verse 5. And what we see, what I see in this little verse, is the story of the whole gospel in one verse. Three phases. There is light that shines into the darkness. There is darkness that resists the light with all that it has. And the light endures in the darkness. One verse, the grand story of the gospel. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness resists the light. The light endures through the darkness. Look at each of those in turn this evening. First, we see the light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. And here we see these kind of two levels of darkness. First, the physical light breaks in at creation. What is the first thing our God says at creation? Let there be light, to a land of utter darkness, a land that is void, into the void. God speaks and says, let there be light. There is word and light. And so too does John begin. There is word and then there is light breaking forth. There is word and there is life and then there is light. The theme of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 is the Son before all in creation. The Son is the Word. The Son is life. The Son as the light. He is before all in creation, and life was in Him. He wasn't merely there. It didn't happen to be. It wasn't a coincidence that He was there doing nothing. No, we see in this text He is the source of all life, and He is the source of all light that breaks through into the void. The life that is in this world is found in the source that is Christ. He is the source of all light. He is the source of all life in this earth. And we don't think of a source like the source of a river. You think of the source of the great Mississippi, and it's just a trickling stream at its headwaters. Now, this is more like the source of one beam of light following that beam of light to the great and all-consuming sun. Christ is the source of life and light. He is active in creation. That physical light breaks through into that physical darkness. The second level, the second layer we see in this imagery is the spiritual light breaking through in redemption. First is the physical light breaking through in creation. Second is the physical light breaking through in redemption. And verse 4 transitions us from creation to redemption. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Pastor Dean talked last week about some of the differences and similarities between John and the other Gospels. And he said, in every introduction to the Gospel of John says, one way that John is different is it doesn't have a nativity story. There's no baby in a manger. There are no shepherds. There are no angels. But I beg to differ. I think verse 5 is John's nativity story. I think verse 5 is John's Advent story. The light shines in the darkness. The light not only of creation, the light of redemption. Christ coming in the form of a baby in a manger, in the form of the Son of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn back with me to the book of Isaiah that we started reading this morning, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 is an Advent, or is a text that we read in the Advent season. It looks forward to Christ. It has the famous line, for to us a child is born. Isaiah chapter 9, I do want to read just the first verse of this prophecy, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shown. We read this as our Advent reading, and it is fulfilled in John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. And it's not John alone who sees this imagery. Christ Himself uses these same pictures and these same words, both life and light. We're going to see through the Gospel these great I am statements. He says twice that I am the life. First, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 11, and then I am the way, the truth. I'm sorry, chapter 11. I'm the way, the truth, and the life in chapter 14. And then he says also that he is the light twice. I am the light of the world, chapter 8, and again in chapter 9. I am the light of the world. So Christ identifies himself as the life and the light that shines through. And what we see in this first point, that the light shines in the darkness, that just as a shaft of light breaks through in that utter darkness and void at creation, so too at the incarnation, when our Savior came as a child, so too does that light, that spiritual light, break through into a land of great spiritual darkness. It's no coincidence that as that symbol of where the newborn king was light, was the star the brightest star ever seen shining above the manger. The light shines in the darkness. What we see at creation is the light shines and the darkness disappears, and there's day and there's night. And it was good. What we see here, though, with spiritual darkness, it doesn't go away quite as easily. The light shines in the darkness. Secondly, the darkness resists the light. The darkness resists the light. And we see a little bit, John will go on to talk a lot about darkness and light in his gospel. We see a little bit of the nature of the darkness in verse 5. The darkness at creation is simply the absence of light. But the darkness here, the spiritual darkness, John describes it as an active evil, a positive evil. It's not simply a neutral void. It is an evil that actively seeks to resist the penetrating power of the light breaking through. Turn over another chapter, John chapter 3, one page over. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. They loved the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. Evil works happen in the darkness. Good works happen in the light, is John's point. The darkness represents the work of evil. You know this to be true in that well-known passage, Ephesians chapter 6, about the whole armor of God. Before the armor is described, how is the evil described? Here, verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This present darkness. The darkness is not simply neutral. It is a active and positive evil that actively resists the entrance of the light. What do we see in this text about the work of the darkness? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Like that's what the ESV says. If you have, and I believe it's the NASB or the King James, it might have a different word there. And there's a debate over how that Greek word is translated. Is it translated overcome, or is it translated, I believe it's comprehend or understand, as some of your Bibles might say. There's two options how to translate it. The word literally means to seize something. And so those who translate it, comprehend and understand, read it to mean to seize something with the mind. And so that translation means that the darkness does not comprehend or understand the light. It cannot seize the light with its mind. It cannot mentally grasp the light. And that's actually the point that John makes a couple verses down in verse 10. He says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The darkness does not recognize the light. The darkness does not know the light. The darkness does not comprehend the light. The other way to understand it is the way that our ESV Pew Bible translates it, as the darkness has not overcome it. That is to seize, not with the mind, but that is the darkness does not seize. The darkness tries to seize the light, as it were, with an evil intent, with a malicious intent to seek to kill it, to seek to do it evil. In John chapter 12, the only other place in John's gospel where he uses this word, he writes this: walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you or overwhelm you or overcome you. And if you have walked for not long in Christ, you know the experience of the darkness seeking to overtake you. Of the darkness seeking to overwhelm you, of the darkness seeking to overcome you. I believe, again, John is using a word with many layers. And what we see in this text is the darkness doesn't understand the light. And so the darkness is hostile to the light. Those walking in darkness do not understand the light, and so they hate the light. So they are hostile to the light. It's hard for us whose eyes have been opened by the grace of God to imagine somebody that could hate Christ, our Savior. And yet thousands hate Him because thousands live in the darkness. They don't understand the light. So they hate the light. Again, in chapter 3, verse 20, continuing John's thoughts, he writes, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." The darkness hates the light. The darkness resists the light with all that it has. The darkness would seek to overcome the light at every turn and with all, every weapon it can bring to bear. It resists the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Resist the light, the darkness. Resist the light. Many of you know the Chronicles of Narnia, authored by C.S. Lewis. Of course, the famous book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or Aslan's the God figure, the Christ figure. A couple of books down the line, there's the story of the Dawn Treader, the voyage of the Dawn Treader, and it's some of the characters from our world, and it's some of the fictional characters from Narnia, and they're in this boat that looks like a dragon, and they're sailing to the end of the earth on this great trip of exploration. And they visit different places and different islands, and towards the end of the book, they see what looks like a dark black island, or an island covered with a cloud, and they set sail for the island towards this dark island, and as they get closer, they realize it's not an island, it's a cloud. And as they get closer to it, the front of their boat actually enters into it, and the front of their boat disappears because it's not even a cloud, it's just a void. It's pure darkness and it's pure evil. And everyone on the boat starts to row backwards to go around this cloud. They're all terrified. Nobody wants to go through it. But then one little voice peeps up. If you know the story, you know who it might be. It's that stout-hearted mouse, Reepicheep. The hero of many of the stories, and this little mouse steps up and he said, "Are the kings and queens of Narnia afraid of the dark?" He says, "Onward in Aslan's name." And they go and they plow into the darkness. That little mouse knew what John knew as he penned this gospel, that though the darkness resists the light endures in the darkness. The light has not been overcome by the darkness. And that's the third thing we see in our text. The light endures in the darkness. The best news for me of verse 5 is the tense of the verb. The light shines. Not the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The light shines. The darkness has not overcome it. The light shone, of course. The light shines. The light continues to shine. And the darkness does not overcome it. That same light that dawned at creation, that same shaft of light whose source was Christ that broke through, that same light broke through at the incarnation. And in the redemption, Christ our Savior breaking through in His light. And that same light continues to shine. Now, in the ongoing story of redemption, that light shines. As we go on in the story of John, if you read it for the first time, it sounds like the light stops shining, as it does in every gospel. Jesus is the light. Jesus dies on the cross. But doesn't that light cease to shine? In fact, that's actually what we read, not in John, but I believe it's in Luke. The sun's light failed. At the cross, the sun's light failed, and you could almost hear the devil and his minions screeching for joy that light that dawned at creation is finally snuffed out at the cross. But then, of course, on the third day, and it's no coincidence, at dawn on the third day, the light breaks through again. The tomb is empty. The Savior has risen. The Savior has defeated death. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's the glory of this story. It's the glory of our Savior, not defeated by death. That light shone, shines, and will shine forever and ever. But that's not really the full story, is it? We're not yet quite in that land where there is no darkness, are we? We're not quite in that city where there's no need for a sun and a moon. We know that that light continues to shine and shine on. The darkness has not overcome it. And yet we know, our experience dictates, that the darkness clings on. The darkness clings on and resists. The light is not overcome by the darkness. The darkness has not yet, in space and time where we live, given up. And so we see the darkness resists still today. Two places that we see the darkness resists are two of many places. One is simply the darkness of the world. The darkness of the world. The darkness of sin and unbelief and immorality in the world. The darkness of those who hate the light and love what is evil. That may be you tonight. Are you one who hates the light? Are you living in darkness? And are you loving living in darkness? Are you loving living in evil and hating the light and terrified of the light because it might expose your life? Turn back to John chapter 12. He carries this light image through for us. John chapter 12, verse 46. What does our Savior have to do with this world of darkness that hates the light? John chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." He has come as light, to shine His light of life in the hearts of His men and women and children and draw them to saving faith in Him. The Christ, the light of Christ shone and it shines. Brothers and sisters, it continues to shine through His church. The light of Christ continues to shine through His church. Back in John chapter 1, we'll see this next week, but John the Baptist comes and he's identified not as the light, but the one who comes to bear witness about the light. He is the example for us as the church to bear witness about the light. That light that is so graciously shown into our hearts and into our lives. We then go forth not as the light, but bearing witness to the light. We set our light on the hill. We let our light shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our God in heaven. You know the story so well, but I have to repeat it here. The story of Robert Louis Stevenson as a young child in Scotland. And he was up in his room and the dusk was coming on and he was looking out his window and he saw the lamplighter coming down the street. The one who came and put light in all of the lamps as darkness came on. And his mother came up the steps and she said, "You know, little Robert, what are you looking at?" He said, "I'm looking at that man who's punching holes in the darkness. Punching holes in the darkness." That is the church as we bear witness to our Savior. We punch holes in the darkness as He shines through us into a dark and lost world. Christ shines in the darkness of the world, and that darkness has not overcome Him, and that darkness will not overcome Him. Second place to consider for us tonight, where the darkness is resisting today. There's the darkness of the unbelieving world. There's also the darkness that plagues the believing soul. The darkness of the world and the darkness of the soul. The darkness that grasps. The darkness that hangs on in the heart and soul of the Christian. It's a different type of darkness, but it's that still that same work of evil. It's that same spiritual darkness that is clinging to the souls of all who believe. Isaiah called it a land of deep darkness. For Jonah, it was the heart of the seas with the waves crashing over him. For the psalmist, in Psalm 130, it was the pit of despair, the depths of woe. Do you know this darkness in your own life? It might look like loss. It might look like grief. It might look like anxiety. It might look like depression. It might feel like an oppressive cloud or a dark mist or a deep pit or a never-ending shadow. The darkness that would seek to overcome the light. And the good news of our passage is that the light of Christ not only shone at creation, breaking through into that physical darkness. The light of Christ not only shone at His incarnation and at His resurrection into that spiritual darkness, but the light of Christ shines into the heart of all who believe. And the darkness, no matter how real, no matter how personal, no matter how deep, will never overcome that light. One author called it the dark night of the soul. For those in the dark night of the soul, it can be like being in the depths of a cave. Not a speck of light, not a speck of hope. But we see the light of Christ breaks through. The light of Christ shines through. And just as one who had been trapped in a cave without light and would finally see that one speck of light, they run to it and cling to it and hope in that light. So too, brothers and sisters, do we, from the depths of woe, see our Savior breaking through. And we say, like Job, though He slay me, I will hope in Him. The light shines in the darkness. The physical darkness, the spiritual darkness. The darkness resists the light with all that it has, with all of the forces of evil. The darkness resists the light. But the great promise of this text is that the darkness has not overcome the light. Not the light of creation, not the light of redemption, not the light of Christ in the souls of His people. The story begins in utter darkness. The story ends in total light. Turn with me, our last passage, Revelation chapter 21. Here's the end of the story. Genesis 1, there's utter darkness. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And in the end of the verse, and its lamp is the Lamb. The lamp of heaven that shines where there is no darkness, there is no shade, there is no shadow, there is no gloom, there is no mist. That lamp is the Lamb. The light shone, the light shines, the light has endured. And the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's name. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise You and rejoice in the name of our Savior that You have sent Christ, the light, the glory of heaven, not only into a dying world, but into our lives. And we pray as we go forth, remembering that light. Some of us may be in a land of deep darkness. I pray that You would shine lights on their souls that they might believe tonight. Some may believe but are enveloped in that darkness, and encourage them, shine Your light that it will never be overcome, to cling to that light. And might we go forward bearing witness of our Savior, not as the light, but testifying to the light, telling the lost about the hope found in the light, punching holes in the darkness. Be with Your people as we go forth from this place. Shine Your light on a dying world, that many may come to a saving faith in our Lord and Savior. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.